The Posim Lichvod Achsanya, Baruch Hashem, we're zochet to a new, more spacious location to learn down here in the social hall, which is a mila both for those who are here live and for those who are Zooming, because it allows us the flexibility to go beyond 10 o'clock, so hopefully it should allow for the time to cover the sugya thoroughly and to allow for Masa Matan. Last week's Masa Matan was Gevaldik. The last thing we want to do is make things sterile and not allow for Shach V'Tarya. So Baruch Hashem, we're down here. Thanks to the three people I know who are involved in it, David Markowitz and Etta Bramowitz and Jonathan Landa, all work together in figuring out how we can enhance the Wi-Fi down here so that we could be down here and we could be Zooming, and that allows us to learn outside HaYosher Tov, Baruch Hashem. So the first two shiurim, we were focused on the very inception of Basar B'Chalav, defining from the psukim, defining Bishul, defining Basar, defining Chalav, figuring out what these things mean, a level of Daraisan, a level of Drabanan, the centrality of Bishul, what's called Bishul, and then how you define Milchik min HaTorah, Milchik min Drabanan, Parav, Fleshik min HaTorah, Fleshik min Drabanan, Parav. And last time we were focused particularly on the Nafkaminas between Bas B'chalav Daraisa, Bas B'chalav Drabanan, that Rashba had in the Torah Sabayis, right at the beginning of the discussion of Bas B'chalav, so he pointed us to the global nafkamina of Safek, and then we had a chance to see the Rambam and the Mordechai, and apparently Rashba disagrees, both in the implication of the Torah Sabayis and in the Chidusha, and the Rashba seems to disagree. But the Rambam and the Mordechai both have a second additional nafkamina, aside from Safek, which is Bechal Torah Kula, a difference between Darais Drabanan. So that was our primary focus last week, as the unique specific Bas B'chalav specific nafkamina of differentiating between achila versus bishul hana. The bishul hana are only also by deraisas, and achila is also by drabanans. There's a lot to talk about that. Whether that's true, how it's true, nafkaminas, and so on, back and forth. Very, very freilich. And that was all rooted in parakal basar. That was all rooted in home base. But that brings us to a larger topic, which is not officially rooted in Chulin, but is very much the focus of Si'ifim, Gimel, and Dalet. Applies to Bas B'chalav, as we're going to see, intertwines with the opening ideas of these Si'ifim as well. And it's always worthwhile when you learn a din. So you have a din, which is a din daraisa, so often there'll be a pasuk to point to. That's your earliest makkah. And you're looking at a din which is either Dirabanan or Daraisa, but isn't explicit in the Psukim, it's important to be sensitive to the earliest source. I think this is what we spoke about at the very end last Tuesday night. It's important to be sensitive. This is a din that first appears in Rishonim. And does that mean Rishonim came up with a minig, or it means that Rishonim will read it into the Gemara? Or is it a din that writes the Midin, the Gemara, explicit in the Gemara? Or sometimes you really hit the jackpot, and you can point to where the din appears, where the concept appears in a Mishnah. That's very, very precious, and it's important to be sensitive to that. So here, the topic of Maris Ayin, the topic of worrying not only about doing the right thing, but avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, so that does appear in a Mishnah. That does appear in Mishnah, and particularly right over here, it appears in a Mishnah on Shabbos, Kuf, Mem, Vav, on Beis. Feel free to take a look inside. I think in the last minute or two last week, we had a chance to see the Mishnah, so let's pick up. This is really where the sugya begins. So the end of the Mishnah, at the bottom of Kuf, Mem, Vav, on Beis, Mishanashru Kelev Bederech, B'mayim, a fellow was walking from, sounds like from city to city, from town to town, not outside the Tchum, but outside of his home area, and the Nashra Kelev B'derech B'mayim, while he's walking, so his clothing gets wet. He wasn't trying to wash them. That would be a malacha, probably of malabin. So he tripped, he fell in the water, and now his clothing wet. So malach ben vein lechoshish, keep walking. No problem. Higil chatzer chitzona, once you reach the outermost chatzer, shotchan bechama avalo keneged ha'am. So then you can take them off and leave them in the sun to dry. Avalo keneged ha'am, Rashi says, sheyechashdu shekibson. You know, I'm allowed to take it off once I'm in a private spot. I can leave it to dry, but I cannot leave it to dry where it's visible to other people. I could, in my own chat, my private chatzer, let the clothing dry. But the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it in front of others because it's going to look, you see the clothing on the clothesline, so it looks like you must have done the wash today. So doing the wash, that would be a malacha, again, presumably of malabin. So even though I didn't do any malacha, but to leave it to dry is a mara sign. Sheyechashdu shekibson, look as though I did not there. So the Gemara then, a couple lines down, the very, very bottom of the Amud, the Mishanashru, Amr Yehuda Amar Av, Kamalkam Sha'asu Cham in Pnei Mara Sa'ayin, Afilu B'chadrei Chadarim Asa. So Rav Yehuda quotes the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda was the second generation of Amora, who was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. So sometimes you hear Amr Yehuda of Rav, sometimes you hear Amr Yehuda of Shmuel. Here's quoting the name of Rav. In the name of Rav Adin, and that's significant because the Gemara tells us, in terms of Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that we pass in like Shmuel Bedini and Kirav Beisuri. Shmuel was, I think as Rav Shechter once put it, Shmuel and Nashim Nezikin. That was his specialty. That's Dina Mamnus. And I would say Shmuel was an expert in the Yeshiva Shemesachtas and the Bavas and the Ksupas and Gittin and so forth. And Rav's great. They both knew Kalta, they both knew Shabbos. But Shmuel had particular strength in Dini and Nashim Nezikin, and Rav had particular strength in Yisuri. In Moed, in Chulin, and so forth, in Yisra V'Heter, in Arachayim, in Yaradeim. So you see this in the name of Rav, in this context, it's particularly significant because this is Yisuri. It's not Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, but a statement of Rav is always very significant and always very relevant in terms of Psak Halacha, and here, particularly in the world of Yisuri. So what's Rav Yehuda calling the name of Rav? Kol Malkam Shasu Chacham Demaras Ayin. Afilu b'chadrei chadarim aser. Even aser, if something aser mishamar asayim, Chazal forbade something because of the way it looks, says aser even when no one sees. B'chadrei chadarim, your innermost chambers. So the Gemara, in other words, mar asayim is aser even if I think no one's watching. So the Gemara points out that's against our Mishnah. Shodchem b'chav lo k'neged am. They said, you know, I'll leave it on the, you have wet clothing, you know, I'll hang on Shabbos on the clothesline to dry. In public, but in private is mutter. So what are you going to do? So the Gemara says, well, Tanoi, the San is really Machlok Satan. The Mishnah just presents one Shita, but that's one of two Shitas in Tanoi. Shotchem b'chav no k'neged ha'am. The Braisa has it as a Tanakama, says what appears in our Mishnah. Elazar Reb Shimon, Osrin, the other Tanoi, Elazar Reb Shimon, they said, you're not allowed to hang it to dry, even in the shower, even in the private space. Maybe not the shower, but even in a clothesline in the backyard that no one else can see. A clothesline in the backyard no one else can see. Now, in other words, to do it in a way that, the way that you would put things out after doing the laundry. And many posts can point out, to hang a wet coat in the shower, to dry, so that's not the way you usually hang stuff after doing laundry, so that's not a problem. But to hang stuff the way you do it, the way you hang things to dry after doing laundry, even if it's in a place that no one else can see, so that's a machlokes ha-tanam, Tanakama, which is our Mishnah holds mutter. As Reb Shimon said, aser, because it's a b'chadrei chadarim. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin is a good question. So halacha lama, so the Rosh on this Gemara, Perak Chav Beis of Masechah Shabbos and Mites. He says we pass on like Rav. It's Machlokes HaTanam. In Achanam, the Mishnah only presented one opinion, and Stam Mishnah is certainly significant, but Rav is very dispositive. And so number one, the fact that it's Rav is and the Gemara felt the need to work this out. The Gemara said, oh well, the Mishnah only presents one Shita, but the other Shita in the Braisa is aligned with Rav. Plus, the Gemara, Rush quotes the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Beis, also seems to indicate that we should pass, that the Gemara assumes that we do pass in like Rav, that Maariv Sinai is also even b'chadrei chadam. That's the position of the Rosh. It should be known that Rav Nissim Gaon does not hold that way. Rav Nissim Gaon says Stam Mishnah b'chadrei chadam is mutter. Okay, so we have a Mishnah about Maariv Sinai. The Mishnah really raises this detail about how does Maariv Sinai play even b'chadrei chadam, and that is an explicit machlokes amoraim and explicit machlokes tanaim in the Brisa. We know what Rav held. Rav held against the Mishnah, and the Machlokas Rishon and Rishonim had a paskin. Rav Nissim Gaon was Mekel, B'chadrei Chadam is Mutter like the Mishnah. The Rosh was Machmir like Rav. Now the issue of Maariv Ayin intriguingly shows up twice on the same Amud in Ksubas in a somewhat unrelated way. It comes up in the sugya, then the Gemara raises something else, which ends up bringing us back to the world of Maariv Sinai. So let's take a look first. You don't have your... Let's take a look first at the earlier discussion of Maariv Sinai in Ksubas Dav Samach. I'm sorry, a mistake in the sheet. I typed Ksubas Samach of Beis. It's Samach of Alf. As you can tell from the layout, Rashi is on the right and Tosfos on the left. There's a line that comes at the end of a larger discussion. The Gemara, the primary topic of Ksubas Daf Samach Amud Aleph, is to figure out what's the status of. We know there's a din. The Mishnah in Bechoros talks about Yotzim and Ha'aser Aser. That we may come across this later on as well. That not only did the Torah forbid the flesh of the non-kosher species, you're not allowed to eat the meat of a pig, you're not allowed to eat the meat of an ostrich, that's the lav, the basar of a behemoth tameh, the basar of a oftameh, but even have a din, they're not allowed to eat the yotzim and asar. So if you have milk of a pig, or you have the eggs of the ostrich, it's also asar, it's not basar behemoth tameh, it's not Basar of Tamay, but it's Yotze min HaBasar. So Yotze min HaBasar is also Asar. But the Gemara gets into a discussion in Da'aksuva Daf Samach, how about when you're dealing with human milk? Or the Gemara wants to know about human blood. So is that a problem? Is that considered Yotze min HaBasar? The Gemara goes back and forth. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, let's talk specifically about blood. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that human blood, let's say I'm bleeding, so I want to suck on my finger. So is that a problem? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that technically, strictly speaking, it's not an issue of min tameh. It's not like drinking the blood of a non-kosher, or for that matter, a kosher animal. It's not an iser dam. It's not an iser behemoth tameh. So take a look at most of the way down the Yom, if you're looking at the copies, it's the first line. Kiddesanya, Gemara quotes a braisa. Hiksubas daf samach amenav. Damashal gabi akikar, gorova ochlo. If there's some bread, if there's some blood on a piece of bread, in other words, I have a cut in my mouth, and let's say I was eating an apple. And my gums are sore. I just flossed. My gums are a little tender, and I bite into a Granny Smith apple. And now I take a bite, and then I pull the apple away, and I see there's some remnants of blood from my mouth. Or the Gemara was talking about on a loaf of bread. So goro va'ochlo. So I have to scrape it away. I scrape away the surface blood, and the rest of the bread or the rest of the apple is fine. But I cannot eat that surface blood. But if it's shebein hashinayim, motzei sovein hachoshesh. But the blood that's between my teeth that I can suck, if it hasn't left my mouth yet, the cut and I close my lips and I suck at that blood, that's not a problem. Motzesova eino choshesh. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is, how do you understand that? So is this a raya against Rav? Like we just said that once the dam is technically mutter. So how come the dam is aser? How come the dam is aser if it's on the kikar, but it's mutter if it's in my mouth? So obviously what we're saying is, help yourself. that strictly speaking it's mutter, narvas is an arazayin. Once the blood is on the apple, the blood is on the bread, blood is on something else, so who knows where the blood is from? It's animal blood. Who's to know that it's human blood, so it's a marazayin? The prior question would say, once it's a marazayin, so then it should be a problem even if it's in my mouth. It should be b'chadri chadar. So do you see from this Gemara that we paskin against Rav? Do you see from this Gemara that the chadri chadar is mutter? Is that the implication of this brisa? This brisa maybe is aligned with the Tanakhama, with the Stam Mishnah and Shabbos Kufim and Vav? Because again, once it's al gabi akikar, once it's on the apple, so it's a marasai, it's aser. But kol matz in my mouth, so maybe that's mutter. So how do you understand that? How do you understand that? So the answer is you got to look at context. The answer is you got to look at context. Turn over to Krisus Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. That's the other place where this appears. You see near the bottom, they quote the same brisa. V'asanya dam shel gav v'kikar goro v'ochol shbein ha'shinayim motzei tzaru bolo v'enochoshesh. If it's inside, still inside your mouth, there's no concern. But once it gets onto the bread, it is a concern. And this is in the context of the Gemara's conversation about dam, a different type of kosher blood. Dam dagim v'dam chagavim. Dam chagavim is not so relevant to Ashkenazim. You don't eat grasshoppers, you don't drink grasshopper blood. But have a fish. Fish blood. Is fish blood kosher or treif? In other words, do I have to salt fish? I don't have to shecht fish, I have to salt fish. The answer is no. Dam dagim, the Gemara says mutter. See a couple lines up. Dam dagim v'dam chagavim is mutter v'lo chatchilo. There's no need to salt your fish. There's nothing wrong with the blood. So the Gemara says, I elsewhere say there is. So the Gemara says, oh, hikam rav bishakinso. If you gathered it, kolzman, the blood is still in the fish, on the fish. That's not a problem. But if you gather a cup of fish blood, if you gather a cup of fish blood, so then it's going to be a problem. Then the Gemara goes on to say, after quoting the Dam Shal Gabi Akikar, the Gemara says that the Braisa is Dafka de Isbe Kashkashim. The question is, it's only if you have, the only time we're worried about the Dam Dagim, if it's number one Kinso, and number two, there's no Kashkashim. There are no scales floating in the blood. But if you have just the blood on the fish as Mutter, or if you have the blood gathered in a bag, in a cup, in a container, and there's some scales floating in it, so then Vaiter. So what's the point? The point, obviously, this what this Gemara is telling us is that it's not a problem if it's Nika. It's not a problem. The Dam Dagim, it looks like Dam. How can you tell the difference between Dam Dagim and Dam Behema without doing some sort of chemical test? Unless there's some remnants. If they're fish pieces, most likely scales, so then that makes it clear. So it's Nika. And it's clear from context. Again, the Gemara puts that together with the din that we saw increases. Of the Dam Shebein HaShinayim. Dam Shebein HaShinayim is not mutter because it's b'chadri chadom. It's not mutter because no one sees. That's not what we're saying. It's not no one sees what I'm doing somewhere else. It's mutter because it's nika. Kozma, it's in context. So that's not a problem. So that's where things lie. That's where things stand in terms of the Gemaras. We have a din of Marasayim. We have a machlokas, whether the Mishnah says Marasayim is aser. A machlokas tanoim. Perhaps Amaram, certainly Machlok is Jom Hadapaskin, in terms of is Barasayin even also Bechadre Chadarm or not. And then we have the Sugi in Ksubis and increases, Ksubis Samacham Bunalf, increases Chaval from Abed, that Marasayin is also, but one way out is if you make it Nick. Shut. So with that in mind, now, with that in mind, in terms of the background in Marasayin in general, so let's turn our attention to Bas Bechal. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Zayin, Se'if Dalad, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba. If you look in the Beis Yosef, he's the Beis Yosef, references the Tshuvas HaRashba. You have a tour of the Beis Yosef, you can see that as well. For those who are still new, by the way, just to take a break for a moment, just to talk about structure here. For those who are still, if this is your first opportunity, you know, using these svarim, Tur Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, just to explain a little bit of the layout. The tour lived in the 1300s, the Shulchan Aruch lived in the 1500s. The Shulchan Aruch based himself on the sequence of topics of the tour. The tour had worked out arranging all of halacha masa b'zman hazeh into the four halakim, Archaim, Yodeh, Evin, Ezech, Rosh, Mishpat, and the breakdown into Siman. And the fact that Basa B'chala, for instance, starts the Siman Pei Zayin, Yardaya, that's already the tour's call. Here you see the tour has Hilchas Basa B'chala starts Siman Pei Zayin, and Shulchan Aruch uses that layout. The Shulchan Aruch added an additional layer, though. It's important just to understand. Otherwise, the following bit of history will make using the Beis Yosef much, much easier to work through. The tour developed the Chalakim, Archaim Yardayev and Ezech Rosh Mishpat, and the Simanim. But he did not break it down any further. The Shulchan Aruch, when he adopted the organizational scheme, Yosef Karin, Ryan Shulchan Aruch, adopted the organizational scheme of the tour, and he added an additional layer of breakdown, which is breaking down the Simanim into Se'ifim. The tour did not break down his Simanim Se'ifim. If you look in the old tour, Siman Pei Zayin is one long block of text. Siman Pei Ches is one long block of text. Zehu. So which topics appear in Pei Zayin, and which topics appear in Pei Ches, and which topics appear in Pei Tes, that's basically right in the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch adopted that. But the Shulchan Aruch broke things down to Se'ifim as well. The Torah never had Se'ifim. So, as I mentioned, up until the recent printing, reprinting the Torah, there were no Sif numbers. The recent reprinting of the Torah, a couple of decades ago, they decided one of the things made it very useful, because look, how are you going to find? I have a dinner Shulchan Aruch in Siman and Sif Dalid. So how am I supposed to find where it corresponds to the Torah and Beis Yosef? Especially since the sequence of topics within a given Siman is not necessarily the same in the Torah and the Beis Yosef, in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. So what the printers did, the Machon Dvar printers did, one of the many, many things that they did to make it more user friendly, is they put in Sif numbers in the Torah and in the Beis Yosef. But here's the thing. They don't always go in order, and that's because the order of topics in the Torah and the Beis Shulchan Aruch are not the same, and these Sif numbers just correspond to Shulchan Aruch. So number sometimes things will be out of order, or sometimes you have Alv Beis, Dalav Gimel. Sometimes you'll have one Sif in multiple places, Alv parentheses Vav, because what appears as a single Sif in Shulchan Aruch might be in two or three different places in the Torah and Beis Yosef. And number three, sometimes you have numbers that only appear in the Beis Yosef and not in the Torah at all, because sometimes you have something in the Shulchan Aruch that wasn't discussed by the Torah. Rav Yosef Karo discussed it in his Beis Yosef, in his running commentary on the Torah. So for instance, right here, page Mem Tes, so you see that the Torah never has, there's no Sif Dalid in the Torah. It's Aleph Beis, and then it goes to Hey. In the Beis Yosef, there's a Dalid. Because Shulchan Aruch, the Torah doesn't discuss this Chuvas Rashba, but the Beis Yosef does. Yeah, it's called the Chuvas Rashba. Mestabesh Asal Vashal Basar Bechal Bnei Marasayin. You're not allowed to cook Basar Bechalev Isha. To cook meat in human milk is Asar because of Marasayin. Human milk is not milchik at all, not minator, not mejabanan. That we said already, it's not chalev behemot Torah. It's not chalev chayot Torah. So it says it's a heter gomer. It's parv, but in principle it's parv. But lamaisa is aser because of the maris ha'ayin. That's what appears in Shulchan Aruch. Arsel vashel b'chalev isha lefnei maris ha'ayin. The maris ha'ayin problem. So if you're looking in the Torah, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba approvingly. He says v'zeh nearly bar. And he says, he thinks they're absolutely correct. The Darkei Moshe raises a very significant kasha. He says, Tarachin, what do you mean? He says, what's the kasha? He says, the last couple of Se'ifim are all Shver. How do you tell me that, oh, it's power, but Marasayin? Really? So every case is like that. We spent 2 weeks ago talking about Chalev Behema Tmeya. Or even we said last week that there's only an Isser Bishul if it's Bas B'chal of Daraisa. So it's Bas B'chal Drabanan. It's Bas B'chal Drabanan, so then there's no... there's only Isser B'chil, not B'bishul. Why? It's Marasayin. That's what the Darkei Moshe says. Now you tell me, there's mutter levashel v'besar chaya to olf b'chalav. I'm not allowed to eat olf b'chalav, I'm allowed to make olf b'chalav. Why? Isn't there a marasain? Isn't there a marasain? You might tell me, well, maybe olf, you can tell the difference in chicken and meat. You can tell the difference in chicken and meat, so it's not a marasain. But let's say chalev behemah tameya. You can tell the difference between camel's milk and cow's milk? Presumably not. Presumably not. So isn't that marasain? How many times mutter bishul? It's marasain. Or basar chaya. To cook basar chaya and milk. You can tell the difference between basar chaya and basar behema? Likely not. So why isn't there a marasain? That's what the Darkei Moshe was bothered by. So that's why in the Ramah, he says, if you're not allowed to cook meat in human milk because of marasain, so you also can't cook meat in chalev behema tameya, the same marasain, or besar tameya b'chalev tahora. You meat which is to cook pork and milk. So we said before it's mutter b'bishul. Mutter b'bishul, but it's not really. It's awesome. That should be aser. So the shach resolves it. The truth is, the Shulchan Aruch already said it. The shach in the beginning of Sivkat and Zayin speaks to this. Take a look at the Shach, Sivkat, and Zayin. They're just the beginning. It's a long, long Shach. Let's take a look at the beginning. Lefi das harav, Sivkat, and Zayin. Lefi das harav, kolshik de kolshkenu. The Ramah is writing that if it's aser by Chalev Isha, certainly aser by Chalev Behem Tameya. So then, near the Tzarech Liyashiv, had the Kasva Torah Mechaber, Siv Gimel. The Torah and Mechaber, according to the previous Sif, which we saw last time. Mutar v'shavana. It's not just the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Arucha, the Perek, again, Chafhei, that's not the 25th Perek, that's Perek called Basar. Muslim Mikol Poskin, that we saw, that's the Befeisha Mishnah. That's Mutar Mishal Nas. I say Mutar Mishal Nas. That was Ramah's essentially asking that. It's not really Mutar Mishal Nas. It's Mara Sain. So how do you work this out? He says, well, maybe it is Asr. But the Mishnah says it's Mutar. So he says, well, I know Mutar Medina, and Mishnah Mara Sain Lo Mairi. So Shach says, well, the Mishnah is talking in terms of Bas B'chalav. The Mishnah Kuf Yigimel in Chulun. It's in Chulun. It's a Kal Basar. There's no Isser Bas B'chalav, but there is an Isser Marisayin. If I cook meat in Chalev Temeya, it's not a problem of Bas B'chalav. It's a problem of Marisayin. I hide the questions. Well, it might not be Gemina. Asser is Asser. What does it matter whether it's Isser Bas B'chalav or Isser Marisayin? Either way, it's Asser. So he explains, no. Nafkemina Begavni the Lekha Lemechish L'Marisayin. Not every case of Bishul lends itself to Maris Ayin. How so? So number one, he says a rule that by B'makam Refuah, we're not worried about Maris Ayin. You're allowed to violate Maris Ayin, L'tzorech Refuah. There are other cases, other Din Drabah, you're allowed to violate L'tzorech Refuah. So he says, L'Refuah, it says, the Marshal says this, L'refuah is muti even chol she'ein bo sakana. We're not worried about marasayin. Okay, the same way we allow you to violate amir la'akum l'tzar chol she'ein bo sakana. So the Shach appears to say that you're allowed to violate marasayin l'tzarech chol she'ein bo sakana. And then he has one line where he says, inami meshkachas begavni achrini d'lakim ishe marasayin. Or other cases where there is no marasayin, meaning, the truth, if you look back in the Tshuvas Rashba himself, the Beis Yosef had just given you a very short summary. Beis Yosef just gave you the executive summary. Two lines. Here's the gist of it. Yehovah of a Rashba is a fascinating Rashba. The Simon Ration in Zion, he tells you where to find it. That's another thing that they added in the new printing of the Torah and Beis Yosef is they give you all the Mara Makamos. So anything that's in the small font did not appear in the original. The Beis Yosef just wrote, if you look in the Beis Yosef, Kasa Rashba B'tshuva. Where? There are a couple thousand Shuas HaRashba. So here they told you, they did their homework, they did their research, they told you, Chela Gimel Simmeration and Zion. So now you know where it looks. You take a look, he talks about this. He talks about this. And the Shuas HaRashba writes, in the first two paragraphs of the Tshuva, he says, yes, there's a Maris Ayin problem, but you have to understand, Maris Ayin does not apply, as we said, Maris Ayin does not apply if it's Nikar. Maris Ayin does not apply if no one can see, if it's Mechusa. And Maris Ayin does not apply once it's Bitarovis. There's nothing to see. In other words, so let's explain. If you have a piece of meat sitting in a pool of milk, so that's Maris. Even if, strictly speaking, one or the other is Pariv, so it's still a problem of Maris Ayin. But if you have a piece of meat sitting in the Pariv of milk, Chalei Behema Tameya, or Chalev Isha, the piece of a flesh sitting in a pool of power of a milk, that's a problem of Maris Ayin. But if it's just a little bit of milk that got mixed in, it fell in. A drop of Chalev Isha fell into the chalt. Or a drop of Chalev Behemet Tmeya fell into the chalt. It got mixed in. So there's no Maris Ayin. So if it was talking milk, then we have a real problem. So then we have to start handling. Do you have an issue, a bittel and so on and so forth? We'll get to Mitzchem and the Simon Tzadi Beis and so forth. But Maris Ayin is not an issue. If it's Bitarovas, Maris Ayin is not an issue. Or if it's Nicker. That's what we saw. That goes back to Krisus Daf Chafal. That's where we started. Dam Shekinso, I have a Dam Dagma Shekinso, I have a cup of fish blood. So that's a Maris Ayin. It looks like it's animal blood, which is treif. This happens to be Dam Dagim, but who's to know? Unless you have a fish floating in the blood, or it's a little gory, or you have a couple of scales floating in the blood. So yeah, that's what the Gemara said. And the Ksubas Daf Chafalv. Excuse me, Krisus Daf Chafalv. So you have the Dam Dagam Shekinso. It's gathered in a cup. The Dam Dagam is gathered in a cup, but there's some kaskasim in it. So the scales make it clear, make it niker, so that's not a problem. So same thing here. So the same thing here. If it's niker, that it's a Chalev Isha, Chalei Behema Tameya. So then it's not a problem. Or if it's Betarovitz, it's not a problem. So before we were talking about cases where, if it's Chalev Behema Tahora, and Besar Behema Tahora, so all the Nicker is not Chalev, that's actually a problem in Bas B'chalev. But he said once it's a Bas B'chalev Drabanan, then Bishal is Mutter, assuming there's no Marasayim problem. Assuming that it's Nicker, that's not Chalev Behema Tahora. There's a container. The container, it says pig's milk. Okay. Not sure what that would look like. The container, it says premium camel's milk. That sounds a little more appealing. Gourmet camel's milk. And there's a container right there. Okay. So then it's clear that we're dealing with Chalev Behema Tameh, which is not a problem with Basa B'chalev. And there's no Marasayan because it's nicker. Or a drop of the camel's milk fell on the food. Am I allowed to cook it? Yes. Am I allowed to eat it? Obviously, that's treif. Am I allowed to cook it? There's no problem bishul because there's no Maris Ayin and it's not actually milchik. The Mishnah is saying it's not actually milchik. No actual problem of Bas B'chalev. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch had said. I mentioned before what the Shach says and what the Rajba himself already said. Is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. To go back to Siv Dalet, we had skipped the second half of Siv Dalet. He says, "Also v'ashu b'chalev ishim b'nei maras ayin v'imnafo tochatash shel batal ve'in tzarich shir." But if it falls in, there's no need for a shir. I don't have to worry about shishim because it's not actually milchik. It's just a maras ayin, and once it's nisbata, once it blends in, it's not batal b'shishim, but it's not visible. It's not visible. So far so good. But then you have the end of the Ramah. Yeah, questions. I'll repeat your question. Let's tell us the zoomers.
Of this Maris Ayin apply only in those times where it was obviously it seems like it was less common to cook or eat with those kinds of milks as opposed to nowadays when it may be much more common to have the non-dairy milks, I guess.
Yeah. So.
That's
a very good question. What does this do for us, Lamas Bismanazah? It's probably still true that Bismanazah, one hopes that camel's milk is not common in kosher kitchens. And human milk is also not used as a ingredient for anyone other than infants. Yeah, but what do you have about bismanas and some soy milk? A shiloh that was already raised 50 years ago. Once upon a time, this was the non-dairy creamer shiloh. Nowadays, it's soy milk and almond milk and coconut milk and oat milk and
rice
pea milk.
Rice
milk is already, you know, for the Shana Kadminias. Yeah, so let's hold on to that for a couple of moments. I want to come back. I want to end with that, because we'll end with, once we work out the sugya, and that's halachal maisa. Ironically, that's going to require us to go to the world of Shatnas. But let's get to that soon. Let's get to Hanukkah before we get to Shatnas. How do we get to Hanukkah? Hanukkah is upon us, but Hanukkah is also actually upon us in the sugya. Because so far, everything fits into place. Right? So far, we saw the reka of Marasai in general, from Shabbos, from Ksubas, from Krisus. There is a problem with Marasai, and we spoke with Chadri Chadarim, and Marasai is mutter when it's Nikar. So that's plain out here too. There's a problem with Marasai, but if it's Nikar, it's not Marasai. Shach also added, Makam Rafu is not Marasai. Givaldik, or if it's just invisible, if it's a Bitarovis, that's not Marasai. So there is a problem, but some things are actually Bas B'chav. And then sometimes not bas b'chol, but it's a marasayin bas b'chol. My naf kamina. If it's actually bas b'chol, it's aser regardless whether it's nika or not. If it's only marasayin, so it's only aser if it's not nika. If it's two senses of nika, it's nika but not nika. I mean, it's visible but not distinctly mutter. If it's b'tarovas, it's not even discernible. Or if it's nika on the others, nika in both senses. I can see the milk, but I can also see what type of milk it is. Then it's also mutter, and the shachar added also the makam tchol she'en bo sakana. We wouldn't be makel if it's an issue of bas b'chol, but we would be makel if it's only an issue of maris ayin. But we need to talk about a suras yantif, and we get to suras yantif via the Ramah initially at the end of Siv Dalet. The Ramah throws a little bit of a curveball at the end of Siv Dalet. The davka b'sar behema ava ba'ovd rabbanon ein lochush. He says this whole issue of marizayin, chalev isha or chalev behema tameya, it's the only issue if the meat is b'sar behema. But if the meat is if the meat is poultry rather than beef, and that's only drabbanon, so then ein lochush. What does that mean? You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook beef with power of a milk, but you are allowed to cook poultry with power of a milk. So why is that?
Zero.
What do you mean?
Zero bone in the first place, and then
marasayin. Ah, gevaldik. So that's what the shot. Now you could have imagined that he means there's no marasayin at all, because I could tell that it's poultry. You say, okay, that's very nice. No marasayin, but there's a marasayin. It doesn't look like bas b'chol d'oraisa, but it does look like bas b'chol d'rabbanan. It looks like I'm cooking, I know that I'm not cooking beef with milk, but it looks like I'm cooking poultry with milk. So he apparently distinguishes between marasayin and d'oraisa, marasayin and d'rabbanan, and that's what the shach says right here, Sifkan Ches. He says, Nimshach l'shita so b'sif gimel. But l'fi masha kasavti Sifkan Vav, it is a problem. What's that all about? To go back to Siv Gimel, we had skipped the Ramah and Siv Gimel. Last time, two times ago, we had learned Shulchan Aruch, Aleph Beis Gimel, we skipped the Ramah. What does the Ramah say? Shulchan Aruch had said in Siv Gimel, B'sar Chai V'yov is the Isser Bas B'chol Drabbanan. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to have a nub, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat poultry and milk. So the Ramah quotes, V'nog, the end of Siv Gimel, V'nog, U'lasas Chalav Mishkedim, and thank you to Glenn for updating our group icon to reflect this scenario. And it's even more freilach than you might have thought. We'll see in a moment. Nagulas is chalav mishkedim, almond milk. This is almond milk from 500 years ago, before it was hip. The minig was to make almond milk in the old days also. Manichin ba besar of. You wouldn't put beef into the, you wouldn't cook beef in almond milk, but you would cook poultry in the almond milk. Whole day, no rock me dry button. It's only dry button. What do you mean dry button? I mean, it's a marasayin dry button. It's really nothing. The almond milk is parv. It fundamentally is heter gomer, but it looks as though It looks as though it's bas b'chal jabana. It does not look like bas b'chal v'daraisa, because everyone can tell that this is not beef. You can tell that it's chicken, but it looks like chicken and milk. It looks like it's an issa drabanan. So marasai v'drabana is mutter. But b'sar behema, you have a problem. To actually put beef or mutton, sheep's meat, which is also b'sar behema Torah, also flesh shikmana Torah, but to put beef or mutton into almond milk, that's a problem, but there is a solution. Where do you get that from? He says, was the Hilchas Dam. That's where they quoted from what we saw, Krisus Dav Chafalv, that the Dam Dagmar Shekinso is only getting mutter if you have the kaskasim floating in it. So you have the kaskasim floating in the Dam Dagm, not so appetizing, I think, for most of us. As opposed to the almond milk with the almonds, that's a little more palatable. Maybe some of us don't enjoy almond milk, but at least it's not, repulsive. So you have we would say, I have a container of almond milk. I have a carton, and it's marked. Whether it has pictures of almonds or not, but it has the word almond on it. Or has the word soy on it, or has the word coconut on it, or has the word oat or pea. Sure, you have a container on the table. You have a container on the table. That's what the postman were talking about decades ago. You have a non-dairy creamer. If you have the riches carton on the table, so that's clear. That's like the shkim have to be in the chalav. Right? The picture Glenn had posted, the shkim were not in the chalav, but they're right next to it. Clear enough. Yeah, but you saw the shach. The shach was not so happy. The Shach was not so happy. He said the Ramah just gave us massive kula. Now, Glenn gave us a svara. So Glenn said, why would you say there's no marasai and drabbanon? If it looks as though you're doing isra drabbanon, it's heter gomer. So Glenn said, look, it's gzeira l'gzeira. Even if you talk about eating real basar of and real chalav, it would only be isra drabbanon. So here, it looks like it's basar of b'chalav. So that's a gzeira l'gzeira. So the svara is appealing. The problem the Shach writes in Sivkat and Vav, in the Sivkat and Ches, what we saw before in Sivdal, he sends it back to Sivkat and Vav. He says, but I wrote in Sivkat and Vav, that's not true. So he begins by saying, the Ramah would say that, look, Dam Dagim, it looks like Dam Daraisa. Here it looks like a Drabanan. And he starts quoting, there are many, many rayas. They're halfway down the shach. He says, "Afilu b'midi rabbanon chayishin l'marasayim." The kamaduchti. There's some places in shas. We're worried about marasayim v'drabban. He says, looking for those who are learning the daf. So this goes back a couple of months. He says, "Shabbos the paragraph of v'hema yotza." You're not allowed to have the Mishnah said. Tanam say Mishnah Brisa. Remember, you're not allowed to have the. Not allowed to walk the animals in the street with if they're wearing the type of bell, a zug, and the why the Amram explain. One issue might be Hashma's call, but even if you stop it up, it's not actually making any noise. But it looks Mexican on the Azul Chinga. It looks as though you're going to Chinga, which Rashi says means it looks as though you're taking it to market. It's all dressed up. Before you put the cow up for sales, you want to make it look all pretty. So yeah, you decorate it with the bell, so it's going to look as though you're going to market. So the Shach says, and let's say you're going to market. Izvas, not doing any derises. Nechamemka's drabonon. Nechamemka on Shabbos Yontif is exer drabonon, you may come to Ksiva. So it looks as though I'm doing nechamemka. So that's a marasayim drabonon. It's a befeish in the Tanaim. Marasai v'drabanan is aster. And he says he has more rice and more rice. Now, l'chor, one could also point out, in the Chanukah Sugya, the Gemara in the Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel, in the middle of the Chanukah Sugya, it's quoted in the first big simon. The officially Hilchos Chanukah starts Archam Tafresh Ayin. That's sort of the introductory simon, the first major simon. Tafresh Ayin Alf and Tafresh Ayin Alf Siv Ches. They quote the Gemara Shabbos Dav Chav Gimel. Chas Sheish Lo Shnei Pesachim. So they were into our house. There's a chatzah that opens discussion. I mean, opens. It's a corner property, so it opens two different streets. I mean, even you have two doors or two different ends, it's not clear that they belong to the same chatzar. So I have to be madlik neris at both psachim. Why? Because otherwise it's going to look as though if it's in a way that you can't tell that both doors belong to the same person, either because they're separated, look like two different properties, or because two different sides of the street, as a corner property, so the fellow's going to walk by one door and says, look, the Jews who live there, they don't light, there's a mezuzah, and there's no Ner Hanukkah, how you talking? So because of that, I'm going to light in both places. The first, if I light the first Pesach, I'm ready, Yotze, Ner Hanukkah, I light the second one, I'm taking care of Marasayim. They're taking care of Marasayim, it's Marasayim and Drabonim. What does it look like? It looks like I'm not lying near Hanukkah. Not lying near Hanukkah, it's a Din Drabonim. Yeah, what do you say?
One area is that, maybe I'm mistaken about how I'm explaining it, but one area is like where you think the person didn't do a mitzvah. So in Hanukkah, you think the guy didn't like Hanukkah, so I don't see his Hanukkah candle. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to like Hanukkah candles, because I don't see the guy like Hanukkah candles.
Oh.
But for the, and the Mekach Memkar case also, it's not like I'm going to go right because I see this guy took his cow to the market, and I think it's okay to do Mekach Memkar, I'm going to go start selling. It's like, I think the guy's doing an Isser, but by the Basar Oak, I think, with the Chayel and Oak, I might think it's okay to cook, eventually cook meat and milk, because I'm seeing someone cook meat, chicken, and milk.
Yeah.
So I might then do an Isser.
Gevaldik.
That's why I think you can't compare the cases.
Gevaldik. So Eric is pointing out, the Shach is very upset at the Ramah, and Lachar Tamash, the Tema. How the Ramah say Marasayim is Rabbanan's Mutti of all these riots? I say Eric is saying that Rav Moshe and others point out that if you stop to think about why is Marasayim Aser? They're a Mishnah and Shabbos. You're not allowed to Shomzchem Becham Keneged'am. Why? What will be wrong if I hand I didn't actually wash my wet clothing. I just fell in the puddle. So I'm going to hang it up on the clothesline. So it looked as though I washed the clothing on Shabbos. It's vas, but Agri Boshel knows I didn't. So the lechora are two different rationales for why Marasayim is aser. Rabbi Daniel Feldman pointed out to me many years ago, they tend to be either or. In any given situation, it'll tend to be one reason or the other, but it's hard for both to apply at the same time. One is chashad. That was the language of Rashi in Shabbos. She chashadu she kibzen. They're going to be choshed me. They're going to look at me, to be choshed means they're going to suspect me of doing the wrong thing. So chashad means I look like I'm an avarian. The other issue is, as Eric has pointed out, lifnei iver meaning they'll say, if I could do it, so could they. Cohen's doing it, it must be okay. Chashad doesn't mean that they're going to think that it's okay. Chashad is based on the opposite consideration of a yisin nakiyah me'eshem Yisrael. That I have a chiyuv to not only be naki, kalapi rabon shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is really chalev isha, it's really parv. So that I have to meet that bar of doing what's really the right thing vis-a-vis Rebbe Shalom. I also have to be knocking Yisnekei Me'Hashem Umi Yisrael. The second bar I have to reach is, in addition, that even vis-a-vis people, I should avoid even the appearance of impropriety. So that's chashad. That's not lifnei iver, that I'm going to be gorim him to do the same thing. But chashad means he knows this is wrong. He thinks that I'm an avarim. Although I think the yeshachtel sometimes uses nusach. I'm not the baal batim over my own reputation. I don't own my reputation. I want to protect my reputation, but I don't own it. I don't have the right to trash my reputation. Just like I want to, not to say the same, but somewhat akin to chavala. I don't own my body. I don't have the right to mutilate my body. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave my body. I'm the trustee of my body, but I'm not the owner of my body. I have the right to do with it as I please. I don't have the right to do with my reputation as I please. I don't have the right. I'm not entitled to trash my reputation. I'm not entitled to look like or to appear to be a Russia. Not just in a situation where people will follow me, but even a situation where they won't, they're going to look down upon me. They're going to disparage me. That's wrong. Daniel Feldman pointed out that it's very rare that you'll have both in the same scenario. Either What's the pivot? Either they're convinced that I'm a tzaddik, so if I'm doing it, it must be okay, or they're convinced that that's wrong, and therefore I'm doing it, I must be a rasha. Right? So let's say to enter a restaurant, which is not kosher. So again, there'll be scenarios where it's mutter, we'll get to that in a moment, but in cases where it's a Maris Ayin problem, so it's one or the other. So let's say if it's a clearly trade for restaurant, so then it's probably not going to be a lifnei, it'll probably be a chashad. They're going to see me going in and they'll say, I can't believe Cohen's eating lobster. Who knew? Well, was that Russia? They're probably not going to say, Cohen's eating lobster, must be mutter. No, they'll say, Cohen's a Russia. But if they see me go into a place that has a substandard hashkacha, a questionable hashkacha, then it's more likely to be lifnei either. I know that's not a reliable hashkacha. It's just kosher style. But the people will see that Cohen's going, oh, it must be, it's okay. We thought it wasn't reliable. Oh, must be, it's reliable. So that's lifnei, that's not chashad, that's lifnei either. Now, sometimes also different audiences may interpret things differently. So what Eric is suggesting, I think, is that these tzvedinim in Maris Ayin has a problem of lifnei iver versus Maris Ayin has a problem of chashad of yisim nekiim. So maybe that's how you could begin to solve the kashus of the shach. Maybe you could begin to defend the Ramah that way, because Glenn's svara for the Ramah was the gzeira l'gzeira. So gzeira l'gzeira. To understand Maris Ayin as a gzeira is probably to understand Maris Ayin as a lifnei iver. If I do it, it'll cause other people. It looks like I'm eating treif. They will actually eat treif. So that's a gzeira. So if I want to cause, they see me, they might do something which is drabbanon. So that's a gzeira, l'gzeira. So that's maybe you could begin to say that the Ramah's kula is only when it's a lifnei iver problem, when it's a chashad problem, it doesn't really matter. The rice drabbanon, I look like a rasha. That's not right. You have to work out. That's what I think Eric is suggesting. You have to work out, see if you can line up all these cases, all the cases where we are worried about drabbanon. Those are chashad cases, and where I'm not worried about drabbanon. According to Rama, I'm not worried about drabbanon. There's belief in the even. Yeah. Yeah. What do you say?
So in the chashad case, you presumably wouldn't be worried about Chadra Kadarim either. Because if it's just chashad, then...
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's actually Meduyuk from that Gemara about Kosim
Good. So he ends with the Shach. That's right, the Shach. He ends the Shach. The Shach ends by calling that Tosis. At the end of the Shach, he says, the very end of Sivkan Vav, Chemuch Leid Betosis Ksubis, in making the argument that there does exist a problem of Maris Ayin and Drabbanans, he says, look at the Tosis and Ksubis. That's why here we're near the close. We're almost at the end, and we're back to where we started. We had started by looking at Ksubis. And I mentioned that it's ironic that there are two. Maris Ayin comes up on this twice on the same amud in independent ways. You have at the top, we saw the Dam Dagim. The Chalei Visha. And then further down, the last narrow line. Tanya, Nochem, it's second to last narrow line. Nochem ish Galia Omer, a rarely quoted Tana. Nochem of Galia. See, he said, maybe it's Gaul, maybe he was from France, not sure. Tzinor sha'alabo kaskasin. This is not fish scales, this is kaskasin in the sense of kashin. You have some sort of drain that's getting clogged up with straw. It's fall and the leaves are, it's autumn and the leaves are falling into the drain, and I'm worried it's going to overflow. So what you can say, so what you should do is you should empty it out. But what do I do on Shabbos? What do I do on Shabbos? So the Nachum of Galia said, "Memachon baraglo betzinav eino choshesh." You could smash it down with your foot on Shabbos if no one's looking. The Gemara explains. It would normally be a din drabbanan, be a masakin kalah. To do with your hands would be maybe a masakin deraisa. To do with your foot, that's an odd way of doing it. It's a masakin drabbanan. It's a drabbanan, masakin kalah chiyad. Malcolm said, look, as drabbanan. You're worried about severe loss. If the drain pipe overflows, it may cause a lot of damage. So you have the right to violate the drabanan of doing this tikkun kil achar yad and to avoid the hafsid meruba. So Tosus raises an issue. These guys say, you like to do this bitzina. Why bitzina? The hadam or come akam shasur chacham and demaras ayin if it's bechadra chadar maser. What does it matter? If you're not allowed to do it in Barabim, you're not allowed to do it in private either. Now, by the way, this Tosus is also assuming, going back to where we started, that we should pass him like Rav. If you pass him like the Mishnah and Shabbos, it's not a problem. He's clearly saying we pass him like a Kol Makom, don't we hold that way? Hayodafi is a malacha daraisa, like Shotchan Bechama. Because it looks as though you washed your clothing. Yiru Yisbur Shekib Samashavas, which it looks as though you did it as a daraisa. But here, when you have malacha kalacha yad, and Avi Drabbanan, Lo Gaz Drabbanan, Lesser Bechad Rechadar.
But that implies that it was an Isser of the Isser of Mar's Ayin is still there because if you had done it before Hestia where everyone else would see it even though you're doing with Shinoi and you're doing it where the Mukum everyone knows if you don't clean this out your house is going to get a leak. Which would think Lo Gazer Rabbanan, which is which we think Lo Gazer Rabbanan, Gezerah to Gezerah, if it was before Hestia there it would be a problem. You can only do it when you're not going to have the Isser of Mar's Ayin.
Very good. So Erica's point out, you could have said it differently than Tosus. You could have said, you could have answered Tosus Kash by saying, there's no Maris Ayin here at all. Anyone who sees it, sees very clearly that I'm doing it as Rabbanan, and it's clearly B'makom Seda. So I'm doing what it looks like I'm doing, and it's clearly Mutter. However, Nachum Ishgalia said it's only Mutter B'tzina. So why is that? Maybe you could have said, it's a lack of covered Shabbos, I don't know. But Tosus understood, no. If you're saying Mutter B'tzina B'atzer B'zefer Hesia, that means we're really worried about how it looks. There is a Marasai. In other words, people, I know that there's a Pseida, but it may not be clear to everyone this is Mutter B'akam Pseida. It's just going to look like I'm doing this Rabban on Shabbos. But it's not going to look like a Daraisa, I'm not doing it with my hands, it's clearly a bizarre way of doing it. It will look as though I'm doing this Rabban on Shabbos. The Tosus says, the Marasayan, so that's what Rosh Shach says. Tosus clearly assuming this is a Marasayan problem, and Marasayan the Drabbanan is Aser. However, not like the Ramah that Mamish Marasayan Drabbanan is Mutter, but rather Marasayan Drabbanan is Mutter Bechadre Chadar. The Shach is willing, based on that, you know, that Tosus is willing to give you halfway. And that may take us back to what Glenn was saying. If Bechadre Chadarin is for sure maximum a Gezerah. One could definitely make the argument, why is it Asa B'chadra Chadar? No one sees me. So the reason, Rabbi Harlapa's whole story, but I think that we're past the hour for stories, is a whole literary story. Rabbi Harlapa has a pshat and a famous Irish author. He reconstructed what must have been going on. This famous Irish author, to make a long story very short, is, I believe, a famous Irish Jewish author who left Yahadus, sadly, and wrote in a book that's because his father was a famous rabbi, and one time he discovered his father, and thought no one was looking, was turning the lights on Shabbos. So at the age of six, this boy decided the whole thing is a farce, all religion is a farce, and he gave it up. So Chalap said, Mestama was really going on, it was Yontif. He tells this whole story very dramatically. He was supposed to be in bed, he goes down the steps, and he sees that the father, as he could tell from down the steps, that the father's lowering by candlelight, and the candle goes out, and suddenly the lights go on. So he says, my father's a faker. Chalap said, what's really going on? It must have been Yomtif. So if you trace back who this novelist's father was, that was at the time when there was still a big machlok saposkin, whether or not it's mutter to turn the lights on Yomtif. So Mestama, he personally held it was mutter. By that point, he already became Mekubal's aser. So he wouldn't do it barabim, but he thought no one was watching. In the middle of the night, he's learning his study. He turned the light because he held it was mutter. And he thought it was b'chadre chadarim, and someone was watching. So that sort of illustrates what Tosus appears to be saying. Chadre chadarim is a gzeira shema, people will see. So a gzeira atu, real marasayin. So a gzeira atu, real marasayin, so that's only us, sir, if at least it looks like you're dealing with the Raisa. But it looks like you're dealing with Rabbanan, So that is mutter. Let me just wrap up very briefly. The last point I promise to discuss halacha l'maisa. So in terms of soy dogs, and in terms of beyond beef, and in terms of soy milk and coconut milk and oat milk and so on and so forth. So if you make it nikar, for sure it's mutter. Right? We paskin, pashta, the poskin, I think generally assume they paskin like the shach and not the ramah. We are concerned about marasayin both on the raisim and drabbanans. And as a matter of fact, if it's a daraisa, marasayin of a daraisa is asher im lechadri chadar. So I'm eating what looks like bas b'chal in my own kitchen, no one's there. If it looks like bas b'chal daraisa, it's still a problem marasayin. Hayi tachin. So I could have the package out. So in Dunkin' Donuts, that's what they do. They're big signs that say it's all veggie burgers. Okay. Well, in my house, so I'm having a plant-based burger, but it looks like it's mamish beef with cheese on it in my own kitchen. So I have to have the package out or not? So you would think yes. But if you look in, I put them on my kama, it's a hard rush to find. In the middle of Perek Tes of Hilchas Nida, of Maseches Nida, he stops in the middle for a section called Hilchas Kalei Begad, all the Hilchas Shatnas. The Rush has in the middle of Perek Tes of Nida. And mixed in there is based on the Tanan, the end of Kilayim, Shatnas is when it's wool and linen. Raw silk often looks like linen. So let's have a bag that has patches of wool and patches of raw silk. The Heter Gamer, but it's Marasayin. A Marasayin of a Daraisa. So the Rush writes, it depends whether raw silk is matsui in your neighborhood, your society, or not. It doesn't have to be robe. It could be that the majority of material that looks like that is actually linen. But if raw silk is at least the matsui, if it's common, even though if it's a miyot, that's a common item, then that's not marasayin. Even though 90% of the material that looks like that is linen, but this is a thing. It's a common item in your society, so then that's not marasayin. There are two reasonable ways to interpret what I'm doing as asur mutter. That's not marasayin. So 70 years ago, you needed to have the non-dairy creamer container on the carton, the marked carton on the table, because non-dairy creamer was not a davar mutzeh. But then it became a davar mutzeh. And bizman hazeh, soy dogs already decades ago were a davar mutzeh in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't the rove, maybe they were the rove. There's only a davar mutzeh at the very least. So then that doesn't require any nikkur, doesn't require any sign. And 15 years ago, plant-based burgers were not, I don't think we're a davar mutzeh yet in America, but at this point they definitely are, which means even if it looks like daraisa, it's not, it looks like beef and cheese, it's the davar matzoi. That's that rush in the ninth parak of Vanida, according to Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Klai Begadim, much later in Yaradei. If it's a davar matzoi, it's not a problem. That's the poskim right. And that's the yisod remains true. The facts on the ground keep changing. So as more things become matzoi, so more things stop being marasayin.
Tigun.
Okay, Chaver Shashkar, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I look forward to ongoing feedback. Now, I'm not giving out new Maramakovas because we're finally caught up. Meaning, this Chabur related to Maramakovas number 2. So the coming week, I have more copies of Maramakovas number 3 if you're interested. They went on last week, and there are more copies. I'm glad to repost them on the WhatsApp chat as well. In the midst of next week, we'll talk about more of the definition of Fleshik's and Milchik's from Hevav Zayin Ches, Blineder. That's the